We're joined right now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and an expert at SI Eats. Andy Staples is my guest. Andy, great to have you back. What's up? How you been?
I'm good. I'm recovered. We did a hot chicken power ranking in Nashville where I ate the extra hot from Prince's Hot Chicken Shack. And it is hot enough to liquefy your internal organs, but I survived. And just happy to say I do it for the readers.
Of course you do it for the readers. Now, when you have something that hot enough to melt your internal organs, exactly what do you chase that with? I mean, a big glass of milk, something different?
Well, the thing is, with hot chicken, they stake it to a piece of white bread, and that white bread does a good job of sopping up the oil. But if I were Prince's, I would keep milk in a locked fridge and sell it for $15 a carton, because I would have paid anything for milk, and they didn't have any.
Andy Staples joining us for sure. For sure. I'm going to pick up that topic in just a moment. Let's talk some football for a minute. Now, it's been about a week since Hugh Freeze, quote, resigned at Ole Miss. As you look back on that now, what kind of thoughts do you have and what sticks out to you the most?
I just think it's crazy that, you know, there's this whole NCAA investigation, 4 years worth, and what ends up bringing him down has nothing to do with that. You know, it's a personal thing. They find this pattern of behavior based on one phone call to an escort that he forgot to redact. And it's a little too much in the SEC weeds, but the reason they found this phone call is Houston Nutt had sued Ole Miss. Houston Nutt's the former Ole Miss coach. He's also the former Arkansas coach. He got run at Arkansas and became the Ole Miss coach only after someone got his phone records and revealed some embarrassing stuff about it. So it's just, this is a crazy, ironic, weird story.
For instance, Andy, the phone call itself, right? I mean, if that call does not turn up, does he survive the investigation, or was it a combination of things that ended it for him? In other words, was it just the escort call?
I think the escort call would have done it. I mean, well, not just that one call, but what they found after that. I think that would have done it because he had cast himself as man of God. I'll make your son a better man. We're not even going to talk about football. Everything's going to be spiritual and life lessons and all that stuff. Well, it's pretty easy to recruit against that when you've got that to show people with the escort call and whatever else they found. So I think that would have gotten him anyway. But, you know, if there'd been no call found, I still think he might have lost his job over the NCAA stuff. They were backing him. In fact, they had extended his contract during all this. But the NCAA could have suspended him for up to a year. And if they'd done that, I think Ole Miss would have fired him. And the other part of it was, Ole Miss knew that the NCAA is not going to reveal its ruling probably until at the end of this season or maybe even a little afterward. So you just let it ride with Hugh Freeze until you find out what happens. And if they say that he did anything wrong, you could then fire him for free. You wouldn't have to pay a buyout because it's in his contract that you have to follow NCAA rules. So Ole Miss really wasn't in any position to need to fire him until that phone call got found.
Andy Staples joining us. All right, I was going to ask you about where the investigation stands, but you just answered that. So go back to the other point. I mean, Freeze, his recruiting pitch was built around the fact that he's a man of faith. He led with that, and now we have this. So where does he go from here as a coach?
It's a good question because I actually think whatever happens with the NCAA stuff will probably have more effect on what he does than the escort stuff, because if he's given what the NCAA calls a show cause, where they can put some restrictions on him that would make him fairly unemployable for a period of time, I think it's going to be hard for him to get back into college coaching. You know, maybe he could go to the junior college level or the high school level, but at the high school level with this on his record, it's going to be tough. So I don't know where he goes from here. And I do wonder if he hadn't portrayed that image, would it have been different? Like Bobby Petrino, for example. Now, he had an affair with an underling and lied about it to his boss at Arkansas. That wasn't the same level as potentially doing something illegal. But, you know, on the moral scale, it's not that different. And he's gotten two head coaching jobs since then. But Bobby Petrino never really cast himself as a great guy. I mean, everybody kind of knew what he was. So when he did it, it was like, okay, Bobby Petrino is going to Bobby Petrino. With Hugh Freeze, he said, well, I'm this. And then he does something that is the complete opposite of that, I think that makes it harder for him.
Andy Staples, my guest. I love the way other coaches glossed him. Jimmy Swag. Jimmy Swag. That is so funny. But now where does that leave Ole Miss? For instance, how attractive is Ole Miss now as a coaching destination?
That also depends on what the NCAA does. If they get nuked and they have to, you know, have multiple-year bowl ban, which also would allow a lot of their players to leave with no transfer penalty and really gut the roster possibly, it could be a pretty unattractive job. But here's the part where it becomes attractive. They didn't pay a dime to fire Hugh Freeze. They're still raking in a bunch of money off the SEC network. They're going to pay, you know, they can pay $4.5-5 million for a coach. And they're not going to do it if the market doesn't dictate it, if they don't get that kind of name wanting the job. But it's hard to turn down that kind of money, isn't it?
For sure. For sure. All right, let me switch gears on you. In your mailbag, you were recently asked to project how many wins that Jim Harbaugh is going to have over Urban Meyer when it's all said and done. Harbaugh, of course, currently 0-2 since he arrived at Michigan versus Meyer. So how badly does he need to beat Meyer and Ohio State this season?
I think they need to beat him at some point because, you know, if they don't win this year, I think the honeymoon phase ends. Now, nobody's going to want to fire Jim Harbaugh. He's done a great job. But the idea that he can walk on water and do anything, I think that part ends if he can't get over the hump against Ohio State, because Ohio State, in most cases, is going to stand between you and the Big Ten title. And you've got to get over that hump at some point. And, you know, I just wonder with Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, given both of their employment histories, how many meetings are we going to get between these two guys before one of them decides to either move on or hang it up? So I would love to see a 10-year war kind of deal like with Woody and Bo. I just don't know if we're going to get that many meetings.
Yeah, right, or both, right? Not just one, but maybe both. For instance, Harbaugh says he wants to stay at Michigan a long time, but his track record certainly would not suggest that he's going to stay in the same place, even if he has success. So where do you come out on that? Do you think he'll be there for the long haul, or is this going to be relatively short-lived as well?
I think they want him to be there as long as he wants to be there. And I don't think they're going to do what the 49ers did. I mean, the 49ers jobbed him. I don't think Michigan's going to do that to him. But the question is, you know, will he stay happy with them? Because it's been fairly mutual in at Stanford and with the 49ers, where everybody was kind of sick of everybody. So I don't think Michigan's going to get sick of Harbaugh. It's you know, we'll see how he feels about them as things keep going. But, again, I think a lot of that depends on, can you get over the hump against Ohio State and become a team that wins Big Ten titles? You know, you don't have to win it every year, but every few years at Michigan, that's expected.
You got to win it every couple of years, and you have to win at least half your games against your rival. If he's looking at 0-3, he's going to have an issue. I'm not going to say they're going to ask him to leave, but 0-3 is going to be a really, really bad look. Now, what about Herb? How much longer do you think Meyer is going to stay at Ohio State?
It's a good question. He's in a better situation than he was at Florida. He seems to have set the organization up better to keep him going longer and avoid the burnout that hit him at Florida. So, you know, we're almost to the, I believe this season would match how long he was at Florida. So, you know, he's in plus time after that. But I think he could probably go, I would think, 5 to 10 more years at least.
It's hard to imagine that this year is going to match the length of time that he was in Florida, because it felt like he was in Florida forever. Now, before we talk food and before I let you go, let me ask you about Tom Herman. He's getting ready to start his first year at Texas. What do you make of the way he's handled things at Texas to this point, and what's his first season look like?
Well, I don't know that they're going to come in and compete for the Big 12 title right away, but Tom Herman inherited a much better roster at Texas than his predecessor Charlie Strong did from Mack Brown. So they should be able to be fairly competitive right off the bat. The thing about Tom Herman that you like is he gets teams to kind of understand that everything's a competition, which is something that Nick Saban does really well, something that Urban Meyer does really well, and a lot of stuff that Herman does he picked up while working for Meyer at Ohio State. If you've got pretty good athletes and you can get them to have a very good competitive edge, then you've got a shot. And remember, he's taken over a team that, when it absolutely needed to win a game at Kansas, the worst program in the Power Five, to save their coach's job, they just sort of laid down. So that's his challenge, is getting those guys, those same people, to have a better competitive edge. And I don't think that's an easy thing to do. I think it takes some time. So people thinking that they're going to suddenly insert themselves in the Big 12 title race, that's asking a bit much. I think he's going to need a recruiting class or two to do that.
Andy Staples joins us. All right, you and I have talked for years about food, and the ongoing thing being that the only thing you like covering more than sports, if anything, is food, and now you're doing it officially with SI Eats. How did that come about, and what's it like to truly live the dream?
It's amazing. My job the other day was to take a video of myself eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I was trying to test Mark Richt's theory that you should be able to get 10 bites out of a sandwich.
How many?
A standard size sandwich, not a foot long sub, mind you.
Right.
And I tell you what, I struggle to get more than six because I'm just hungry all the time. But it was a fascinating exercise. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I went to Nashville for 2 days to eat and drink. That was my job, eat and drink. It is truly beyond any dream I ever could have had.
Good work if you can get it. Now, one of the things that you've done with SI Eats is you break down the food in various college and sports towns around this great nation, places like College Station, Nashville, Houston, Columbus, Portland, and more. If you had to pick one sports town that stands out above all the rest when it comes to food, which is it?
I think it's Austin. There's just so much variety there. I was reading yesterday, there's a Japanese immigrant who just opened a barbecue joint, but it's sort of a fusion of where he's from and Texas barbecue. And I wrote it down. You're going to read about that on SI Eats as soon as I can get myself to Austin, because there's just so much there. I mean, barbecue is my favorite food anyway, so the fact that they have so much good barbecue helps, but they do everything else well there too.
So if Austin is the best, what is the worst sports town for eating? I mean, is there one place that you simply do not look forward to visiting?
I don't have one. That's the thing. Everybody thinks that there are these horrible places like Starkville, Mississippi gets the worst rep. Starkville's fantastic. There's a coffee shop there that makes this blueberry cobbler coffee. It's called Strange Brew Coffee House. Every time I go, I get 2 or 3 pounds of this stuff, because it's the best coffee I've ever had. You can get pulled pork nachos that are not on nachos, they're on pork rinds at a place there. It's an incredible eating town. It's just that it's got maybe 4 good places instead of 100 like Austin does.
So if you had one last meal, if you had one meal left in your entire life, what would it be? Where would it be?
It's interesting because I'm such a big barbecue guy and I love steak, but my favorite meal, and I do this about once a year, there's a place called the Red Bar in Grayton Beach, Florida. And during the spring and summer, the special that's not on the menu is grouper over a blackened grit cake. That's the meal. That with a slice of key lime pie for dessert.
I'm a big key lime guy myself. All right, Andy, finally, because you came out here so many times to do our show, you know Cali and you know Cali food. What's your favorite California meal?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I do love that half-ground beef, half-ground bacon burger at Slater's 5050. That's a good Orange County establishment for you. And where your studio was in Westminster was a big Vietnamese part of town.
Yep.
And your makeup artist, Samara, sent me to this place, and I can't remember, the restaurant's called like Hotard, and it's in a place called the Mall of Fortune. And it had these unbelievable lettuce wraps where you get all the different meat stuff to fill it with, and huge portions. It's just really cool. So a couple of good Orange County joints for you there.
That's awesome. Good looking out, and she did not dial me into that, so that's news to me. I'm glad I got it from you. Andy Staples is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and an expert at SI Eats. Andy, great job. Great to have you back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Good job, man.